34 years ago today, I was a lost man sitting in a hospital room trying to make sense of life and being an expectant father. Never had a father, didn't know how to be a father, didn't know what was taking place. But that situation pushed me, if you will, to the cross, where I found him who would hold me fast. And after 34 years, 34 in February, I have never had a moment where he wasn't holding on. And so I appreciate the music we have at our church that points us to the cross, teaches us truth. Amen? Amen? Galatians chapter 5. I want to read a lengthy portion of Scripture, if you don't mind. See if we can, I shouldn't say wrap up, culminate, put some icing on the cake of what we should be doing as Christians that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. So don't let me delay any longer. I still hear pages ruffling. Chapter 5, verse 1. Bible says, stand fast, therefore. Now, you'd have to read all the other verses before that to see what the therefore is for. But that stand fast means to be stationary, to persevere. We have people moving today. I'm not talking about physical locations. I'm talking about spiritual locations. We are just supposed to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Liberty is being set free from something. And I'm thankful that God set me free from a lot of things because they had, as he says here, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He says, and be not entangled again. So he says, we were entangled in something. I find it interesting that they call it the World Wide Web. And the World Wide Web has entangled many of people. I was going to say men, but it entangles women, children, and everybody just as much as anybody else. There's a lot of things they could have called it, isn't it? I think sometimes the truth of our failures are right in front of us. I don't think it's a mystery that they put an apple on the front of apple with a bite out of it. I'm not saying it was an apple in the garden, but there is an innuendo implied. And I'm watching people fall, and one of the reasons they fall is they're entangled again. Those were things, Romans chapter 1, that says they were made. How's that go? Let me read that real quick so we all know what I'm saying here. Some of y'all look like you ain't read your Bible in a while. Romans chapter 1, I'm trying to think of that verse of Scripture. Devices, how's he put it? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Man, where's that verse of Scripture? The one where it says it made. Oh, man. Huh? Yeah, where's that at? Backbiters, haters. Yeah, there we go. I stopped just short of it. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters. Here it is. Inventors of evil things. And there's been a lot of things that have been invented that are evil, and they have helped us to fall into our demise, if you will. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stand fast. God pulled us out of that. He set at liberty from that. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. Thank you, Brother Baldwin. And he hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are things out there that have been made that are absolutely evil, and we get caught up in them. Behold, but preacher, don't say that. So it's up for us to judge which one is and which one isn't. I'm going to tell you what, if I knew there was a snake in the backyard and I had three kids, I'd do everything I could to fence that thing, keep that thing away. I'd put signs out. I'd scream. I'd yell. I'd do everything. But when it comes to these things that are ensnaring people on a day-to-day basis and entangling them in it, we sit silent and don't say a word about it. That's not what the house of God should be for. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Remember, this is a church at Galatia. They do not quite understand, much like us. They were under the law, but they were not saved by the law. They did certain things to show that they were believers, and they carried those things over, not realizing they were just a picture, they were a type, they were a shadow. Now we have the indwelling presence of God. He empowers us. He equips us. They're struggling with that. He says, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. What's the point? If Christ's profit was not just His dying on the cross. Christ's profit was Him ascending to heaven and sending the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, into us as believers, so that we now have, as He said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. And you keep forward going through it. In that passage, He says, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you somebody. Just as you had me here with you, beside you, you're going to have somebody, not beside you, but in you. Christ shall profit you nothing. He says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. It's basically the difference between walking in the flesh, trying to do it by the strength of our own power, and just yielding to God and God allowing Him to be the power in us. We through the Spirit, here's the context we're getting to, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And notice He is mentioning those fruit of the Spirit before He even gets to the place where He's teaching on it. He says, ye did run well. I've watched a lot of people in church run well in the flesh. They just do it because, you know, it's a list of things to do, and I can do this and I can tick these boxes, but you're not going to run very long that way. You might run for a while that way. You ain't going to run very long that way. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You won't be able to sustain that. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, not through your flesh. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. There was somebody outside teaching them, hey, this is not the way you do it. And listen, we have those today. They're not at the Church of Galatia, they're on YouTube. Just how many people get off course? Well, let me study this out. Instead of studying it from the Word of God, they study it from something that somebody else put out there, monetizing, trying to make a living off of something. It's crazy how we do this. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his own judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Boy, the heart of a pastor there. It says, I wish they were cut off. I wish they had no effect. No, they weren't even around you. They were completely away from you to get you from not running well. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you succeeded at that this week? Have you fulfilled that command this week? But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. Verse 16, here's our passage. This I say then, with all that prior to that being said, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that inspirational? Just walk in the Spirit. Well, how am I supposed to do that? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. He focuses on the contrast, the problem. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He said, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And I still can't figure out why he just chose these. There's so many things out there. But I believe this list, all the other ones can fall underneath of it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you realize he's writing these things out? He's sharing these things with the church. This isn't something that was in a flyer down at Walmart. He's talking to people in the church. And then the church sometimes thinks, well, I go to church. Going to church, sitting in a garage don't make you a car. Sitting on the stove in a pot doesn't make you boiling potatoes. Being in church does not make you a Christian. Having the indwelling presence of God in your life and yielding to it demonstrates that you're a Christian, that you're one of His, that the earnest of the inheritance, the down payment, if you will, that God gave me, that I'm one of His, is He put His presence in me to lead me and guide me and control me and convict me and comfort me. How many people understand that concept? He said, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not, it isn't may not, it shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no comparison. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And we've talked about that. The baptismal pool is a demonstration of that. Baptism isn't salvation. It is a demonstration, an open testimony that I've crucified the flesh. And I am saying, with everybody's help around me, I need you to help me crucify the flesh in brotherly love. Chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about that. He said in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And goes right into its purpose. He gives us the principles, walks right into the purpose. What's the purpose? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. I've heard so much chitter chatter this week about people falling. You don't fall into abominations. You walk into them knowingly. The love of God constraineth us, especially when something is diabolical and evil and illegal. You don't fall into that. That's not a fault. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, do what? Restore such a one in the spirit of, and he uses again, a fruit of the Spirit, in the spirit of meekness, strength under control, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. What's the burden? Walking in the Spirit. Let me help you. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To help us, to aid us, to be able to walk in the Spirit. What's the purpose of somebody else within the fellowship of God? To come beside us and help us to do that. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You come all the way down to verse 5. What's that for? To do that? To show them that? Hey, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You can do this. You can make this. Don't fall flat on your face. For every man shall bear his own burden. Then sooner or later, the ones that... Here's a perfect example of that. Paul and Barnabas divided over John Mark. What was wrong with John Mark? He didn't like going from town to town, getting half beat to death and everything stolen from him. He couldn't take the ministry that Paul willingly dove into and Barnabas willingly dove into and understand the concept of it. What's he do? Paul and Barnabas separated over the fact of it. But down the road, Barnabas comes beside him. Barnabas helps him. Family member, Barnabas comes beside of him. Helps him up. Gets him back on his feet. Later on, Paul, when he didn't have anybody around, he says, hey, why don't you bring John Mark for the... He's profitable for the ministry. That is the fulfillment of that right there. Let's pray, see if we can get something this morning. I hope the faces change. I got a booger hanging out of my nose. I don't know what it is, because I'm going to get a camera one of these days, and I'm going to point that camera that way, and I'm going to show it on that screen. Smile. There we go. Father, we love you today. Thank you for this truth that we have. Help us to walk in it. Help us to understand it. A world around us is in need of this truth. And we have this hope in earthen vessels. I plead that you'd help us this morning. If somebody in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray they come to you today before it's eternally too late. For those in here that know you, Lord, claim your name. I pray that you'd convict their heart and teach this valuable truth so that they might help and impact their home, their family, their job, their community, their country, before it's eternally too late, I plead in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here we are this morning. If my notes serve me right, we began this study on the fruit of the Spirit in October of last year. I truly hope, even though we have done several other messages, there's been several other events in between since we started this study, that it has been not only in the forefront of my mind, but it should be in the forefront of your mind as we study collectively the Bible together and we all try to walk with the Lord. As well as help you to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and the need of the hour to allow these fruit to be manifested in your life. I know it has mine. This has been a very convicting series for me. I find myself in so many situations weekly as of late. Brother Baldwin, what's that thing you've said before? I'm trying to think of the name of it. I buy a... Of course, I wouldn't do this. I was thinking about a... Confirmation bias. So I buy a Dodge Ram, and I see everybody with a Dodge Ram. I see him. I even come to the point where I see him parking next to me. Confirmation bias. And so it is with this, you start studying these things and you start seeing, for me, I start seeing the opportunities for the fruit of the Spirit and I start seeing the failures of the fruit of the Spirit. I walk away from a situation, I go, if you can, and I'm not saying I'm some spiritual giant, but if you walk close enough to Him and you've not grieved Him and you've not quenched Him and you really say on a day-to-day basis, God, I want you to help me walk in the Spirit. You know what He'll do? He's an ever-present help in it. He's not some boogeyman far off in the distance and we light a candle and grab beads and count them. He's there. He lives inside of us. And He will aid us and guide us and lead us and comfort us and convict. He will give us every... You talk about what do they call those folks in the gym? A life coach, personal trainer, whatever. Boom, there he is. Man, I just wish somebody'd help me. You have it. An amazing life, an eternal life coach. And so, I find myself in so many situations weekly asking myself and examining myself regarding the fruit or the flesh being used to walk in and through whatever the situation God places in front of me. He will place us in situations so that we can be that fruit of the Spirit in somebody's life. He's not here. Guess what he needs? I've heard people say this before. They'll say, and I get it. Wow, the Lord really blessed me. They won't go into details. The Lord blessed how? He just dropped something out of the sky? No, the Lord will bless many times. This is why I say all the time, I'm looking for the Lord. And you know where the Lord will show up many times? He'll show up on a foreign field in the Amazon basin through a missionary. He'll show up knocking on a door in the falls with a church person going out and giving them eternal life. He'll show up in a situation, and you know what that is? God is placing you in that situation, not to bring you glory, to bring Him glory, but He's using you to point people to Him. I need a verse for that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And He does that through the manifestation of the Spirit and the nine fruit of the Spirit that are daily being used in yours and my life. And so I ask myself constantly in so many situations weekly, examining myself regarding the fruit or the flesh being used to walk in and through whatever the situation may be that God places me in. As I stated at the beginning, the importance of understanding the work of the Holy Spirit and the responsibility that we have as believers is extremely important in the day that we live. The Holy Spirit of God is, in my opinion, the most neglected person in the Trinity, and yet the most needed. I'm not saying that Jesus isn't neglected by people, they haven't come to the cross, but who operates now in this dispensation is the Holy Spirit. He draws people, He convicts people. He does that through us and through situations and through preaching and so on and so forth. And what is the unpardonable sin? It is the rejection of the Holy Spirit that is drawing you. If you're in here this morning, you're lost. You're searching, you're looking for something. The Holy Spirit is working through the manifestation of His Word and other people and using their spiritual gifts, using the fruit of the Spirit, and you're saying, this is different. I remember the first time I went to a church outside of the religious organization I grew up in. I sat around and I saw people loving and kind. I was impacted the time I went to an altar and somebody came up beside me and prayed for me and with me. What was it doing? It was showing me this is the truth. Walk in it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There ought to be more places, facilities, churches, groups of people that have the truth so somebody can see it and say, man, there's something different here. That centurion saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and he said, truly, this is the Son of God. Because of how he acted. He probably saw how many executions, crucifixions, and he saw in that one the Rose of Sharon. And he ought to see the same in us. Brother Grimaldi at camp, I went to camp this week. Brother Grimaldi at camp, you think church services are long here? I was sitting there. What'd somebody say? Preaching, something to do with preaching. People only dare preaching how much they can take. Man, I shuffled around. I kept moving this way and moving that way. And whoo! I don't think, we started 7? Is it 7 or 6? 6:30 started the services. I think I got out of services. They were finally closed and over with 10:40? Please, please, please don't ever complain about that. And watch this though. They go there. There's a detox. God keeps moving, starts moving, continues to move. They come home. And then they meet us, American Christianity. I didn't even have that in my notes this morning. Wow. Brother Grimaldi at camp made a powerful statement, last message for the camp. He made a powerful statement regarding the believer for those young people there, and I want to repeat it for us this morning. He said this, God wants to save your soul. Whew, that's a powerful statement. But he also said this, and God wants to save your life. Many, I dissected that while I was sitting there. And I was saying to myself, they're one and the same. And they're really not. Many just want him to save their soul. But after he does, we all need him to save our life. Jesus said this. He said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, he said, that ye might have life, there's salvation, and life more abundantly. There is saving your life. There's being productive. There's being somebody, when it's over and done, God looks at his good and faithful servant and said, enter in to the joy that's prepared for you. Enter in. This is what that life that God saved, that I saved, that now you can enter in and see the enjoyment of it. You can see at the marriage supper of the Lamb how your life that you surrendered and I saved made a difference in somebody else's life. I'm afraid there's going to be many there. We come up with this phrase, by the skin of your teeth, or yet so as by fire. Their life was saved, or their soul was saved, but their life wasn't. They never did nothing with it. I got a book in the mail this morning from somebody that says, and the premise of the whole thing was he got saved, never did nothing with his life, and now he's an older man, he wants to do something with it. I think that's great. But I think of the years that were lost. Many just want him to save their soul, but after he does, we all need him to save our life. And he does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, since last week we did a review to get us to meekness, there's no need to review, so we come to our last fruit of the Spirit, and that is temperance. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those have been very eye-opening to me. That those are things that they're fruit. I shouldn't even say things. Those are fruit. That is the divine character of God put into 9 fruit that he wants in my life so somebody can take part of. The tree does not produce fruit to consume it of itself. It is there. Ellie came by the other day, wanted to watch Wizard of Oz. And I was scared to death as a kid the first time I watched that, when they start walking through the Pastor, I thought you said that movie was wicked and evil. I did. But I'm going to point out the subliminal message is in there. It's still a classic, whether you think that's hypocrisy or not. Dorothy goes through that little orchard, apple orchard, and she reaches up to grab that, or no, it was on the ground, wasn't it? And those trees started, man, I was traumatized as a kid. These trees started talking and throwing apples at him and chasing him out of there. The whole point I'm trying to make in that illustration is the tree does not produce fruit to consume it of itself. The tree produces fruit for some weary person to come by and go, whew, I need some love right now. Man, I need some peace in this situation. I need joy. Man, I just don't seem to have joy, and I need to be long-suffering and gentle and good and faith and meekness and temperance. So we come to temperance. As I stated about love at the beginning, being the foundation that all the other fruit are built upon, I say this at the tail end of temperance. Having studied each of these in length, it is the, can I say, glue that binds all the other fruit together. If there is no temperance in the believer's life, there will be no real manifestation of any of these other fruit. Temperance is of high priority in the fruit of the Spirit. So let's look into this word that Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses. This was amazing to me this week, talking about the inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We say that is God-breathed. So not only are these folks struggling with the law, now they're all of a sudden struggling with this new thing, the Spirit of God lives inside. Now, yes, he came upon people in the Old Testament. He was with or indwelt John from his baptism. God can do whatever he wants to do. But his pattern is such. So the church at Galatia is struggling with this. You follow what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden I'm sitting there studying these things and I said, you know what? When Paul wrote that letter, that was the first time they ever heard that there was nine fruit of the Spirit. Where in the world did Paul get that from? Because Paul had a walk with God that God could talk to him. Peter said this, holy men of God moved or spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So here's Paul sitting in his study one day, or jail, writing it out, and all of a sudden God is saying to him, just like in Revelation in our study, where Jesus is speaking to John, and he said, write these things to these seven angels at these seven churches. Same thing with Paul. And Paul writes down. Now, don't you think it's important that Paul be in the Spirit that day, that he didn't add an additional one? In his own flesh? I'll tell you what. This is me. You ever heard a preacher get up and pray and say, God, please, please allow me to say the things that you would have me to say. And please, God, allow me, restrain me from saying the things that you'd not have me to say. That is the same concept as Paul sitting in his study. And he writes down nine, not seven, not five. Nah, I ain't going to write down love. Do you know how many times I've been beat half to death from town to town? Love. They're going to have to figure it out the same way I figured it out. No, that's not Paul. For all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And I was sitting there saying to myself this week, convicted, God, if you can touch Paul to restrain him in his temperance to write the things that you'd have him, could you please do that with me in my counseling, in my preaching, in my deportment on my day-to-day endeavors? So let's look into this word that Paul, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses to teach the church at Galatia of the nine fruit that God has given to the believer in the work of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in and through their life. If you've been saved any length of time, I'm going to say 5 years. And the reason I say 5 years is because Paul, the known letters that he wrote to Corinth, we have the first letter. 5 years later, he writes the second letter. In that period of time, he readdresses them and calls them babies. Why? Because they should have been at full maturity by that time. If you've been saved for 5 years, you should know this stuff already. Well, preacher hasn't preached on it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Nine fruit of the Spirit. Let's see how they should be manifested through our lives. The last one, temperance. The word temperance simply means self-control. Self-control. Now, before I dig into that word more and the fruit that should be available in your life, how's that going? How's love coming? Had any situations where somebody that was needed God's love, you gave them God's love? Any situations, maybe in a church service, where joy unspeakable and full of glory? I tell you what, they purposely sing songs at camp. Do you know what the purpose of those songs at camp are? Brother Mike, I'm going to hazard a guess. We're going to be on the same sheet of music this morning. Do they just do that to fill time and make me sit in church till 10:30? I mean, 6:30 I got there. I drove through Ohio and Pennsylvania traffic with northern drivers. I don't need to be sung to for hours on end, Brother Mike. Why do they do that? People come to church. I'll tell you what, when I first got saved, I looked in the phone book. I got saved outside church. Looked in the phone book where to go to church. I said, the guy that witnessed to me is Southern Baptist. Now, that's not locational. That's conventional. Research that on your own. Southern Baptist Church. I wanted to, in my neighborhood, local church. Because my kids are going to need to fellowship with people. Went there. Man, I'd go there. All these truths I'm reading about. I'm going, man, they'd get done singing and I'd, woo! Man, I'm in there just, wah! Domino Nabisco shredded weed. That's about how it was. I lasted for 10 months. Couldn't take it anymore. youth pastor come over. I wasn't a youth. Youth pastor come over and said, man, could you? Yep, yep, sure can. Fellow at work was a Pentecostal. Whew. Talk about coming out of the frying pan, going into the fire. They go there and it's... Here's what I couldn't figure out as I studied my Bible. God guiding me from Puget Sound to Cleveland to the Promised Land. Here's what I couldn't figure out. They believed they had eternal security at First Baptist Belvedere, South Carolina. Man, I'm forever saved? Wow. Forever. I can't lose this? I mean, I have this forever. God lives inside of me. Oh, my goodness. Go over to the other church. I can lose this. If I do something, I can. This will depart from me. Woo! Do you see the contradiction of this? It's absolutely ridiculous. And you know what it means? Study your Bible. And we have love. Where's it at? Where's joy this week? Did you go to work and somebody that's digging through hell about a half acre presented joy? Well, man, what are you so happy about today? Homeschooler. Michaela wakes up. What got in your cornflakes today? Why are you so excited? And you sit there and say, I'm eternally secure. God loves me, cares for me, will never leave me, never forsake me. I mean, I'm justified, redeemed, predestined to be... What? McKaylee? What do you want me to do? Just walk around? Sourpussed? We go to work. How's things going today? Okay. And he's saying, well, I thought you were a Christian. Under his breath. Peace. Captain Chaos of Christianity comes to the workplace. Peace? No. Chaos ensues. Do you see what I'm saying? Gentleness. Goodness. Long-suffering. I'll tell you what, if that was me. Tell you what I'd do if that was me. All those things that God's wanting you to be a light in this world. All at your disposal if you'd yield to Michael. Since you don't think I'm preaching at you. Just say amen. Me. This is my struggle. I know y'all got it all figured out, man. If I could just walk with you, man, you've got it figured out. If some of the juice from your apple would just drip over onto me. Faith. Faith that would move mountains. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be thou removed and cast into the sea. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, believing ye shall receive it. Meekness. Strength under control, temperance, self-control. The word temperance simply means self-control. Before I dig into that word more and the fruit that should be available in your life, again I ask, how's that going this week? How's that going? Did you have that love at the right time? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Did all that fall into place? His mercies are new every morning. His compassions fail not. You have a little box of mercy every morning you wake up. You know what it's for? I know yesterday wasn't the greatest, but today you can be a whole lot better. Here's your little Joel Osteen moment. You can be the best. I am what it says I am, isn't it? He holds that thing up, shakes it and everything, and then departs therefrom of it. Noah Webster defined it, temperance, as moderation. Particularly, habitually, moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. Natural. It's just, there's some things that are just natural. I was born this way. Yes, you were. All of us were born dysfunctional, separate from the promises of God. And you know, we have to be born again. So we have a supernatural transformation. It is habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of the natural appetites and passions. Restrained or moderate indulgence as temperance in eating and drinking. It's a nice one. I preached a message one time on Humpty Dumpty. Had a great fall. It was Eli. Eli took the threshing hook and took more out of the threshing pot than he should have. You know what it caused? Tell me it doesn't. You fast forward, he did nothing about his sons. He wasn't temperate. Next thing you know, he heard about his sons. They finally brought it to his attention. He had to do something about it. And he fell over in his chair, broke his neck. And the Bible just coincidentally put in there that he was what? Fat. What was it demonstrating to us? There was no temperance in his life. I come from a large family, not in number. And I have to realize that one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. I have to stop. Do you know, I said to the guys when we went to the men's conference, everybody's leave. 11 o'clock at night? Now watch this. You at camp, you can go to the whatchamacallit snack booth at 11 o'clock at night. Get Snickers bars and candy bars and potato chips and gummy bears and everything else. Can I get an amen from the crowd in here that's over 40? You don't do that. The metabolism isn't there. And can I say this? You shouldn't be doing that at 15. There should be a temperance. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to what? Glorify God in our bodies. I've said it before and I've said it to so many preachers. A demonstration of discipline, constraint, and temperance in your life is you. You are a billboard on display of what God's doing inside. Well, I don't have the metabolism that Mark has. Well, you know what you got to do? I don't have the wisdom, knowledge, and experience that other people have. So you know what I have to do? I have to work at it. Temperance. It is a temperance in eating and drinking. Temperance in the indulgence of joy or mirth. Temperance in eating and drinking is opposed to gluttony and drunkenness. And in other indulgences, to excess. Could I add this one? Although Noah Webster didn't mention this. He didn't know about it, but if he did, he would have said it. Temperance in your phone. How many times have I said to myself, oh my goodness, where has the time gone? What happened? Next thing you know, and can I say this, those that make evil things, no. All they have to do is, Chinese, squirrel. And next thing you know, and I say this often, and out of respect, please, I'm not shooting at anybody when I say this. This happens so frequently to me. Phone calls, text messages, drop-ins. Right when I'm right in the middle of studying. Well, put a sign down. You don't have to answer. Okay. I've never rarely seen somebody do this. Pastor, are you busy right now? Could I just come back in another moment? That got quiet. Number two. Because what's the whole point of it? Well, that's what you're there for. That's what God's there for. You just maybe took me out of something that I was so in that I can't. You know how many times I've sat at my computer and I've said to God, God, what was that thought? I was just ready to type in. Can I please have it back? Patience, calmness, sedateness, moderation of passion. This is why I say of temperance being the glue that binds. When we look at the other fruit, there must be temperance, a self-control in the use, overuse, or absence of those fruit. We would or could say balance. Albert Barnes said this of temperance. The word means properly self-control, continence. It is derived from the Greek word kratos, which means strength, and has reference to the power or ascendancy which we have over exciting the evil passions of all kinds. It denotes the self-rule which a man has over the evil propensities of his nature. Our word temperance we use now in a much more limited sense, as referring mainly to abstinence from intoxicating drinks. But the word here used is employed in a much more extended signification. It includes the dominion over all evil propensities and made to know continence, chastity, self-government, moderation in regard to all indulgences, as well as abstinence from intoxicating drinks. The sense here is that the influences of the Holy Spirit on the heart make a man moderate in all indulgences. Teach him to restrain his passions and to govern himself. Redeeming the time, why? Because the days are evil. To control his evil propensities and to subdue all inordinate affection. Paul said, I die daily. The Christian will not only abstain from intoxicating drinks, but from all exciting passions. He will be temperate in his manner of life and in the government of his temper. This may be applied to temperance properly, so called with us, but it should not be limited to that. A Christian must be a temperate man. And if the effect of his religion is not to produce this, it is therefore false and vain. If that ain't a punch in the gut. Just in the beginning of the study of that aspect this week, it was and has been extremely convicting, but as well compelling. When you have truth that has been planted in your soul and mind, the Holy Spirit can bring that thing to your attention as you conduct your day-to-day endeavors. And let me say this, when He does, fix it. What was that thing I said the other night? It was a Sunday night. When He convicts, what? Submit. When He speaks, when He says, even, I think there was two gentlemen the other day. I had just come out of a meeting. They were visiting right here. And I walked over and I know my face sometimes has that look on it. My kids say, whoosh. And my kids' friends have said, man, your dad, whoosh. Sean, yeah. But I'm the nicest guy you ever want to meet. Okay, whew, Kara's the only one shaking her head. And I went by these guys, and I shook their hand real quick. Welcome to service, started walking. I couldn't have got three steps, and God just smote my heart. He said, that's the first time those two have met you. That's not who you are. They don't know where you came from. Go back and fix it. I turned back right around, and I said, I'm sorry. No excuse. I just got 1,000 things on my mind. I don't even know what I said. I just corrected what took place. It's a short account. We will do those things and walk away never thinking anything different. And it is He which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. If those two young men, that was the first time they ever saw what a Christian was, I failed. Well, that's subjective. And just say amen for me. I know you never fall into those situations. The word is used 4 times in Scripture. I found more occurrences showing lack of it than the command to recognize it. That is temperance. Acts 24 and 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, this is Paul, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. As I read that account this week, I said to myself, Felix trembled because a man full of the Spirit of God told him truth and the power of the Holy Spirit regarding his life. And then Felix examined his life in light of that truth. Sadly, today we don't have enough of that. I don't have enough of that. I don't have enough of that truth to even make somebody tremble. When's the last time I ever preached a message, somebody went out there trembling? Next, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 8. Paul said this, according as His divine power, that's the Holy Spirit, all power, He said, is given unto me, He gives it to us. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these promises, ye, us, might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, not being entangled again. And beside this, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. and to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. He said, for if, that if is on us, the if is on us. We know these things. What are we going to do with these things? He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He says, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. You want to know the key to never falling, Noah? How old are you, 14, 15, 13? You know the key to never falling? Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. It'll keep you from falling. It'll keep you from falling. If ye do these things, you shall never fall. We hand out hearing-assisted devices. I'm wondering if we should get blind-assistant devices. Because I think sometimes we're blind that our lives matter, and we put these fruit, we allow these fruit, rather, to manifest themselves through the work in the Holy Spirit so that others can be helped. There's a person in here that needs love today. Can they get that from your tree? There's a person, their whole world turned upside down this week. Can they get peace from your tree? There's a person that everybody this week has been short with them. Every time they go to do something, they're short. Everybody's short with them. And they need you. Maybe they're just, you know, children. Can I get on that for a little while? Children need, guess what? Our long suffering. They've not fallen as many times as you, sir, ma'am. They need to be able to fall and realize that they don't have to get kicked halfway across the room because of that first fall. Now, when they get your age, we don't want you to fall as much. So we're going to tug on your ear a little bit. Young man, pay attention. You see what I'm saying? That's different. But can we give some people a chance? And can we get new Christians a chance? Can we help them? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Thought I'd say that. Can I just say, the more I study this and the expectation of the believer to have the divine nature of God, it starts making me realize more and more the act of baptism is an obedient and public action of the believer. It is possible for the believer to succeed outside. It is impossible for the believer to succeed outside of submission to God's working in their life. You can't do it on your own. And it is a fulfillment of Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Paul said, work out your own salvation. Paul said, I'm tired of carrying you. I've told you everything I can tell you. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure. God wants to do something in our lives, and we stop that. We hinder that because we will not yield to the Holy Spirit's working. You could be more loving there. You could be more peaceful there. I know we're good at walking up to somebody else and saying, you could be more loving there. But we're not good at God listening, talking to us and saying, you could be more loving there. We want grace all the time. We just don't give grace all the time. Amen. Amen. You're preaching well, preacher. We as Christians must realize that God not only wants to save our soul, but save our life. And it is accomplished by our yielding to Him and His working through the Holy Spirit in our lives. The word temperate is used three times in Scripture. Temperance, if you will, is the goal. Temperate is the act. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25, and every man that striveth, that word striveth means to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary. For the mastery is temperate in all things. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Brother O'Malley, Brother Dewey and I have been sharing different things this week about certain topics. Brother O'Malley said something to a man, and then that man replied, and he sent me the reply, and I said this. I said, in between each one of those words is years of ministry. Because you know what he's learned? Listen, I don't expect Noah to walk around here with nine shiny fruit swinging from his tree. But I'm going to tell you what, once you get up there a little years in life, you should be the most helpful and beneficial to everybody else here. There should be tree on your fruit. Fruit on your tree, rather. dyslexic preaching. I struggle with that. This is the act, a daily competing for the prize and contending with our adversary. What's the adversary? The world, the flesh, and the devil. We must ask ourselves daily, who's winning? It's almost like we look, don't they do it at camp? They write down who's winning. It's the boys are winning. It's the girls are winning. We ought to do that as well. Did the world win this week or did you? Did the flesh win this week or did you? Did the devil win this week or did you? We must ask ourselves daily who's winning. Have you never, ever, after encountering a situation, said to yourself, well, I lost that one. Am I the only one that says that? Whew, I lost that one. Man, I wish I could have done better on that one. God says, I'm going to give you another opportunity. 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. You know how many years it took them? 40. You know how long it takes some people? I've seen people that have been saved 20 years. You'd think they were a two-day-old Christian. But I've seen people that were two-day-old Christians. Joseph. Joseph was a green, gray head on green shoulders. Tell me he wasn't. He was the youngest. Look at the knowledge that he had. Look at the walk with God that he had. Did he fall? Did he fail sometimes? Sure he did. Paul instructs, watch this now. Next, Paul instructing Titus about the elders with this word temperate. Titus 1, verse 8, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. And not just the elders, but the aged men. Titus 2 and verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. If these verses don't pierce your heart, I don't know what will. I'm wrapping it up. Thomas Aquinas said this, temperance is simply a disposition of the mind which binds the passion. Temperance is simply a disposition of the mind which binds the passion. No wonder we are to have the mind of Christ. And why I say again, temperance is the glue which binds all the other fruit and will be the determining factor of how all the other fruit will be seen in our life. I'm closing. Because of my position, if you will, I operate in a sphere that most of you don't. Let me explain. I have a front row seat into so many people's lives. Because ministry is about people. It's been a week where it's just tough to watch people who claim to know God, therefore equipped with the Holy Spirit to enable them, fail and fail miserably. Please don't look at young people and say, they're all going to hell in a handbasket. No, you are helping them. Because you are not showing them that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. The failure is not God. It's we who refuse to recognize that it is He which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I kept hearing a phrase in my spirit this week. Just over and over again, I kept hearing this phrase. Be as any other man. Be as any other man. Become like any other man. You familiar with that saying? Judges. It was said three times of Samson. I pulled out my notes. I've been preaching for 31 years. Pulled out my notes and I had preached a message on it and I just reviewed that message. Lord willing, it may be a good time to revisit that message. The story of Samson is a sad account of a life that failed to yield to God. Each and every day, each of us will face obstacles, situations, struggles, ups, downs, successes, failures, good, bad, evil. And in each of those situations, God has equipped us as believers to succeed. How do we succeed? We succeed with the fruit of the Spirit. And what this world needs most is to see those who claim the name of Christ to have love. I know this morning somebody needs love in here. I appreciate the tools that are out there. A preacher contacted me last night, late at night, just sent me a picture. It was two patrol cars out in front of his house. And I was just riding to work today, and I appreciate the little tools that are out there. Marco Polo. Him and I have a conversation on Marco Polo, and I just reached out to him. A face. I can't be there. What could Paul have done with the tools that we have today that we misappropriately use them? And I just told him I was there. I was thinking of him, praying for him, and so on and so forth. There's somebody in here this morning, I guarantee, needs love. Joy. Peace. World's just chaotic. I'm going to make my own brand of cereal. Do y'all remember Captain Crunch? You know what my cereal's meaning to be called? Captain Chaos. I live in chaos, man. And it's not mine. I almost put a profile pic up the other day on my social media of a fireman with a hose, with a fire blazing in front of him. And I'm sitting here thinking, I said to a preacher yesterday, I said, is it just me? Or does it just seem like this world is spinning out of control? I shouldn't say world, church. I'll never forget when I first came to church. And I just got in there and I looked around and I said, is this what I've been missing? There was calm. There was peace. There was love. There was joy. I remember I showed up for a work day at First Baptist Belvedere. Oh, man, you should have seen. If you thought Angela Kaczynski looked crazy when she first came to church, you ought to have seen. See, there's no preacher standing up there saying, boy, I remember when he came to church. I walked in, and I was a train wreck, dumpster fire, trying to get my life together. Dr. Roy Head, many degrees, all those little initials after his name. Here I am just working at the church. Pair of shorts on, had one of them wife beaters on, tattoos, everything. Just, oh, man, I'm happy to be in debt. Woo! He shows up and I said, hey, Roy, how's it going? Well, that's not bad. No, he ought to be given respect. He'd earned it. There's people that need peace. And we come in and we're chaos. Every time you get around you, you're just tipping over things and bumping into things and knocking things over. Long suffering. Every time try and get to you. Gentle. Gentleness. You know why my kids say, where was that guy? When I'm dealing with my grandkids? Because they probably would have wanted that guy that they now see as a grandfather. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we can do that. Man, I'm going to surrender. Honey, I surrendered the mission field tonight. I don't know if we can do that. Fight the whole way there. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I guarantee you, somebody in here fell under every one of those categories. And somebody in here has every one of those categories. Now, if that's here, can you imagine out there? I talk to lost people all the time. I was talking to several yesterday, earlier this week. And as I talked, I heard in the back of my mind, be careful. Be loving. Be gentle. Good. Long-suffering. Talked to somebody yesterday. Oh, my goodness, there was so much in me that just wanted to blurt out so much. And I just sat there and I said, it was like the Lord saying, pump the brakes. You're not going to do it by throwing everything right in their face. Just slow it down. I wish when I started in this journey, I was who I am today. And I hope before I end this journey, I'm not what I am today. Father, we'd ask you to help us. Lord, you have equipped us and given us the very means by which we can help or hurt the cause of Christ. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to yield to the Spirit's work in our life. I beg of you, Lord, in my own personal life and in others, that we'd see what you want to do and how you can make it and accomplish it if we would just yield. We don't need to know the story. We don't need to know the ending. We just need to know our part and to do it. And you will do. Some water, some plant, you give the increase. Lord, move on our church. Move on our people. Help us to understand this concept that we've studied since October, so that not only this church can be benefited by it, but the world outside. Our world is spinning out of control, as you know. And the only one that can help them is you. And you do it through us. Help us, I plead, this morning. May you move in the invitation on people's minds and hearts and lives, that they may yield to you and commit today that they are going to strive to make sure that these fruit of the Spirit are manifested in their walk, and they'll walk in the Spirit, not in the lust of the flesh. Help us all, I plead. Give us grace for the journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all